buying, are we buying shops in the metaverse?
Welcome to the Supaverse.
Welcome back, Frenosis. Welcome back to another awesome episode we've got coming up. We've got Mr. Rum Walia over at Supercolor. This one was fun. And I say every episode is fun because they actually are. I do really like doing them. But this one's really cool because we were in person. We're hanging out. We were at Supercolor HQ in California. We actually got a pretty cool sneak peek too of the facility. Unbelievable. We'll have a really neat shop tour in the future. But this episode, amazing. Supercolor's invested almost $10 million in growth in the last year. Unbelievable. And I don't think people fully realize what's going on there. But totally focus on DTF machines versus ordering heat transfers. Do you do it in-house? Do you buy it? All that good stuff. A lot of just secret things that people don't fully know about. But before we jump into the episode, you guys know the drill here. We've got to give a huge shout out to our four amazing sponsors. First of all, Mr. Supercolor Rum Walia, the world's best heat transfer. They empower professional printers, clothing brands, brokers, crafters, and entrepreneurs with a heat press and helping them become a professional printer. They make it super fast and super easy by streamlining every step of the process from printing and placing your orders to receiving your transfers and pressing them on almost any fabric. Supercolor gives you the means to grow so you could focus on what you do best, designing, creating, and above all, selling. Second, thank you so much to Graphic Source. Graphic Source specializes in providing high quality, production ready art and dedicated staffing solutions for decorators around the world. They work with so many different Printavo shops on your workflow management side, but also to plug into that very easily to handle that production art. They have industry leading quality on high-end color steps, professional digitized embroidery files, pixel perfect mockups, and order entry solutions. They can make a big impact in your business. We've heard a lot of positive feedback. Once everybody gets synced up, it works really, really well. Easy Way, you shouldn't be spending all day cleaning dirty screens. Easy Way's line of environmentally conscious chemicals will get the job done faster and more efficiently and will cost you a fraction of the cost per screen. Last but not least, Multicraft. If you haven't heard of Multicraft, they're an awesome distributor. They've been helping out Stephen Farragut Campus Inc. a ton. And you definitely need to follow Dave Edgar's Multicraft underscore daddy if you need ink supplies or daddy. Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years will provide you with some of the top brands at competitive prices. Mention Printavo, because you get an extra 10% off your first order. Get it going. Let's get the episode rolling. Thanks, guys. Hey, Pronouncers, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Bruce from Printavo. We've got a very special episode. We are with Mr. Stephen Farragut. You thought that was for you, wasn't it?
I did think that was for me.
Bruce always forgets about
me. I was also
me.
Wondering if there was somebody on the other side of the room you were pointing at, but I didn't see him.
And Mr. Rum Walia. Oh, wait, what's your official title?
President of Supercolor.
President of Supercolor.
Superman.
Sorry, I was looking at this Jesus. Camera, which is not recording. That's the Zoom. This is the camera.
Yes.
Wait, that camera is not recording?
Correct. No. That is just for Rum's personal
collection.
But
that camera's recording.
That camera's recording.
I'm only good on a webcam. Superman, Transfer Jesus. What other nicknames are we working?
Super Rum.
Super Rum.
And now Superverse.
When I was back in the day, when I was a DJ, it was only one Rum.
Really?
I've come
a long way.
Do you
still have some mixes on SoundCloud?
You know, man, I've retired all of that. You know, it's been a long time.
You could make a Super mixtape. That would be pretty awesome.
That would be actually pretty awesome.
So you're going to have a lot of fun using Super today, aren't you?
Oh yeah, totally. Because you guys have really, really amped up the word Super in the last year.
Branding 101, baby.
Branding 101. A beautiful little backdrop here, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
New space? Or what is this? Because when I visited you last, when we did that heat transfer amazing tour, you just dropped like 30 tips. It was like a three-hour video. This is a different building, though.
So you are in the Super Factory in Hawthorne, California. This is... we opened this facility up in July of last year. We have 7 lines that print the world's best heat transfer here. And we're not quite complete downstairs. We're still building out. We just moved into these offices upstairs maybe a few weeks ago, earlier this year. And we still have our other facility in Gardena, which is about 3.5 miles away. But yeah, this is going to be home.
Wow. For listeners, we're close to SpaceX. We drove by SpaceX on the way here.
Tesla.
Tesla's here. What else is here?
Amazon's around the corner.
And Supacolor.
And Supacolor.
Has Elon ever swung by?
Not yet, but you know, they do have that, what's that little tunnel project thing that he's doing?
The Boring Project?
Little, but it's nothing he does is little, by the way. But yeah, he has the Boring Project. Like, they have a tunnel over there that you can, you know, it goes down the street. You can kind of see the setup, but yeah, it's a cool little neighborhood.
So you'll be able to ship transfers in Elon Musk's tunnel sooner than later.
Basically, it will get there super fast.
There you go. So the whole backdrop, if you guys were listening to the last episode or 2 episodes ago, we were talking about Long Beach. And the big thing about Long Beach was that I noticed immediately was it used to be DTG, 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 like every sort of brand. And this year it was DTG, DTF, DTG, DTF, DTG, DTF. And so we had like a 45-minute episode about, wow, that was interesting. First of all, what was your take just about that huge change in market right now happening?
Yeah, you know, actually, to me, it looked like DTF, 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 DTF. It was pretty much everywhere. You know, as a transfer manufacturer, it's really exciting to see emerging technology like blow up like that. At the end of the day, we want as many people heat pressing as possible. It increases the market share. It gives us an opportunity to do what we do best, and have an opportunity to get people onto more Supacolor. I think it's exciting, but with everything that's new, it takes time, you know, and, we're keen to learn more about the technology. We want to understand it better, and see where it goes.
So you had to be a little,
Rob's got my vote.
You had to be okay. Walking into the trade show and being like, gosh, like there's DTFs everywhere. Must be a little annoying.
You know, I think it was surprising more than annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be as prevalent as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to ask me what is annoying is when you go to a DTF manufacturer or printer and they say you can make Supacolor with this. That's annoying.
Oh, you think people directly say that?
Oh, no, they do say that. Mm. Like, I mean, not all of them, right? Like, I don't want to categorize everybody into one category, but there is this notion out there that, you know, you can print Supacolor with a DTF machine. And look, we're all relatives. We're all in the same family. We're in the transfer family.
Mm-hmm.
And DTF might be our cousin, but there are some distinct differences between how we make Supacolor and how DTF prints. And some people might think these are minor differences, but to us, they're significant. One of those main differences is the fact that we're using a $500,000 digital press with 7 colors in it that's going to be able to, you know, really hit a wide gamut of colors. And, you know, we can color match and we can print metallics. There's a lot of different things that we can do with our digital process.
Is that machine at this facility too?
That machine, there's 2 of them at this facility.
Damn, $1 million.
Yeah, we're flexing. and then the second part of our process is the screen printing part, which is in our DNA. And we're using white water-based inks to back up our digital, which gives, we put 2 passes of white water-based ink behind every Supacolor. And then we add the adhesive. And, you know, the white is what adds the vibrancy, the stretch, the durability, you know, all of the great things that we like to talk about that Supacolor has, like the 70-plus washes, the no cracking and fading. Those characteristics are going to be hard to find in an out-of-the-box system. And I'm not saying that it'll never happen. And I'm not saying that, you know, DTF or Ecosol or anything similar that you can print in your shop or at home is a bad product. It's just a different product. Mm-hmm. And we make a commercial grade transfer that, you know, you can apply onto just about any fabric. And I think what's noteworthy is this is, and maybe you can answer this question, right? Like if you're decorating $120 North Face garment, what type of transfer do you want to put on it? And I'm not talking soft shell blocker or anything like that, but like
putting one that's going to stick.
Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, you know, damage is a huge factor in any business in the print industry.
And so for those listeners that know, I went down the DTF rabbit hole. We've tested out a couple machines, returned some, got some new ones. I texted you when I got the machine. I was like, hey, just so you know, I'm doing this. And you said, like, I'm happy for you. Like, you've hit a certain amount of scale where it makes sense. And, you know, I think it's also a form of flattery when someone can compare you to your brand and say, like, is this as good as Supacolor? True. So, you know, I give Supacolor a lot of credit because you guys really came to the States probably, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, January 2019.
Okay, so like one of the first print hustlers or second print hustlers when we had Profit First Mike there, right?
Mm-hmm. It was the first, I think it was the first one, right?
And mm-hmm. you were like giving us bags and you're like, just try them. And we really didn't fall in love until we had to decorate on masks. And that's where like the Supa fanfare started in my shop. And that's when we realized, holy cow, transfers are actually a huge part of our business that we were totally missing out on. So a part of me is like, yeah, we have that piece of equipment, but I was just telling you right now, there's two orders in your queue that you're producing for us because we've just now transitioned to more heat press and less screen print.
Right.
But I guess like from your standpoint, you know, when do you think those machines will be ready? Do you think like, you think it's going to be a couple years? Like you guys obviously have the Rolls Royce downstairs. But are you a little bit nervous about how quickly that comes to the market?
Well, you know, it's,
or is it an and conversation?
I think it is an and conversation. You know, like if, you know, a person I met recently was quoting Steve Jobs and he says, either you have to be ready to cannibalize yourself or your competition's going to cannibalize you. And if you're not always looking inwards on how you can do things better, but also looking externally to figure out what your customers' needs are, then you're going to miss the mark. And if we were sitting back here saying that, hey, you know, we've changed the industry with Supacolor and we changed it again when you could order as few as 10 pieces last year. And if we sit back and we think we're done and we've done everything that we need to do and people are going to be happy, well, that's just making a lot of assumptions. People, I think, like DTF and DTG because it gives them the flexibility to do one piece at a time. And if you're running an online shop or anything like that and you want to do made to order, then it's very attractive. If we want to enter, the crafter space or the do-it-yourself space where people want to experiment and they want to do, things just for the joy of it and not necessarily from a business perspective, we've got to find a way to cater to their needs. And that means, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, just hop on the DTF bandwagon. But look, Apple is great at developing technology, but they're not always the first to market. And I think at Supacolor, what we want to do is we want to evaluate all emerging technologies. We want to bring them in-house. We want to do our R&D. And then we want to figure out how do we use it to make the world's best heat transfer? Because that's what we're after at the end of the day. I mean, that's just it, really, you know, like we're passionate about that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we were all getting lunch and we were asking a shopper, like, would you ever get into DTF? This was Max. And he's like, no. He's like, why? I'll just keep buying them from Rum. Like, I don't want more equipment or I don't want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting then from your perspective of like, you just pointed out you had orders in the queue, but obviously you're still messing around.
Right. And that's where, you know, I was telling Rum, like, we got it to replace our DTG because we absolutely hate DTG. But we also are trying to do something where we do a print on demand model with a DTF, right? That's like very particular for our e-commerce, with barcodes and, you know, the transfer comes out exactly when the shirt gets printed. But for the majority of our stuff, when it's high volume, we're still probably better off ordering them in bulk from a Supercolor. So like there is a balance, and I'm curious to know, like, maybe we can see my spend. and that's why we decided to go down that road. We were spending shit ton of money with you guys and it was working really well and it still is working really well. I think all it's going to do is just push our team to do more transfers. It's going to be that, you know, at 50 piece orders, we're just going to start doing transfers for it. Cause you know, once you have that down and the consistency is there, yeah, paying $3 or $4 for a transfer versus running a machine and paying someone $20 an hour might still be more cost efficient, you know? And so, I don't know, do you guys ever think you would sell a DTF?
Yeah, I think, anything's possible. You know, I think first and foremost, like I said, it's an emerging technology. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to understand it, we want to study it, and we want to figure out how we can make it better before we do anything. We're mm-hmm. not going to go to market with a product we don't believe is the best. And a lot of hard work goes into that. We don't want to rush to market. We want to make sure that, you know, we're prepared and we feel good about, you know, what we're going to deliver.
Yeah.
But just going back to what you were just saying a moment ago, I think what you're talking about is the buyer make strategic decision that a business has to make, right? And basically what that is understanding the cost basis of making a strategic buy decision of working with a supplier like Supercolor versus bringing in that process internally. Now, most people get to that fork in the road when something goes wrong with a supplier. The supplier is either late, the quality is not good, customer service is not good, the price doesn't make sense. But in your case, it was like, we're spending a lot of money, so we need to figure out if we need to bring this in-house. Now, I've been a decorator myself, and I've bought a lot of different machinery over the years, DTG, white toner, everything, right? Like, you kind of nerd out on these things. But at the end of the day, when you make that decision to bring it internally, you also have to figure out if you have the competencies to do that at such a high level that you can replace your supplier and it's actually going to save you money doing it.
Meaning the labor and the equipment,
right,
and the maintenance and, you know, the knowledge to be able to do it. Totally.
And what you're talking about right there is the cost of ownership.
Right.
And I don't think that a lot of people are prepared to do the work. They can do it. Prepared to do the work to understand what the true cost of ownership in acquiring a piece of equipment is. Mm-hmm. And then being able to figure out how to price it. See, now you go and you buy Supercolor and you know what the price is and you know you're paying $15 to get it shipped to you. You know what the cost per unit is. Then you can take a minimum wage employee, put them behind a heat press, get them pressing in one day, and you're making money. Mm-hmm. It takes a very small footprint, and it's really easy to calculate. So it's a beautiful, simple business model you don't have to worry about. And instead of putting your money into a printer and having to manage consumables mm-hmm. and you know, making sure your staff knows how to use it and producing it with the throughput that's necessary for you to accomplish all the work that you want to do in a day, well, that's pretty hard, right? And then you have to take your overheads and figure out what your cost is going to be. It's just not a press charge and, you know, basically the cost of the Supercolor. Now, you know, printers, and I have a printer's DNA, we're all guilty of this. We'll buy a piece of equipment and we won't amortize it into the price of per unit when we're printing. We'll take our overheads, we'll take our materials, we'll take our labor, but we very rarely do people say, right, this machine, how do I incorporate it into the cost of something that I'm selling? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the idea behind Supercolor was like, how do we make this simple for people? How do we make it so that you could print unlimited colors and gradients? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry that I'm going off on this, you know, ramble or this tangent right here, but I think it's really key that if you're a business owner, simplicity matters in this day and age. Because chances are, if you're looking to buy equipment, you're probably not looking at three or four things that are way more important for you to do right now to increase your sales, mm-hmm. right? One is your brand. How do you stand out amongst thousands of other printers? We came into an industry that was well-established with big players already making heat transfers, and we came out of nowhere and everybody was like, whoa, who are these guys?
And can we pause for 1 second? Because I think the "we came out of nowhere" is really critical, because there are other people that printed digital transfers before Supercolor.
There are people that printed a similar type of hybrid digital transfer.
But like a full color. When you guys came to market, yeah, the technology was like awesome, but what was your big and what was your big differentiating factor?
You know, I think it starts back when you're a customer of other manufacturers, mm-hmm. and you get a certain experience using their products, you get an experience using their service, and you figure out where the gaps are. And you ask yourself, what would you want to do differently? Or how would you do it differently? And then you actually have to go out and do it. And there were a couple of things, you know, like we can talk about the product and the quality and all of those other things, but, you know, we believe that the way we print our transfers is the best because they're going to last a long time. They're reliable. They're vibrant. They're colorful. We believe in all of that. But in a crowded market where there's so many different options for transfers, Supercolor stands out because we have brand. And people trust that brand. They believe in that brand because, you know, I'm sitting here today talking to you guys, and I'm out there talking to, you know, a lot of other printers, and they know that at the end of the day, they can count.
But when you were first starting, what were your, like, you knew you had a superior product or you right. believed in it, but like you still had not really proven it to the world yet. What were you doing to differentiate then, like early Supa days?
Sponsoring Print Hustlers Conf.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Okay, so you sponsored Print Hustlers Conf. You gave everyone transfers to take home
Correct.
With them. But I don't think you give yourself enough credit for the speed. The reason we went to Supercolor is because it was fast.
Yeah,
or like there
absolutely.
Was no other competitor that we could find that was as fast as Supercolor.
Speed will always be our competitive advantage, and that's why like our brand values are, you know, super fast, super easy, super color.
We talk about that all the time. Speed right? is the easiest way to add value.
Totally.
Responding to a customer fast, picking up the phone fast after a fuse button rings, obviously order turnaround time. I mean, it just like makes your product look better without having to do much.
Yeah, you know, you got to have the speed, but you can never give up the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our principles. And then the other one is to make it easy for all the stakeholders involved. And Supercolor represents, you know, pride in what we do and respect for the people in the process. And so when you put those three things together every single day, that's how you make the world's best heat transfer. Because it's more, we're like, you know, I stood up on the stage at Print Hustlers and I said, hey, we're more than just a heat transfer company. You know, we're your partners mm-hmm. because we want to help you grow your business. You know, it's not always about making caps, bags. And
can you share how much you've invested in Supercolor this year or 2021? Oh,
man, a lot of money. I think, you know, we built out Atlanta last year.
So Atlanta's running now.
Atlanta's running two full shifts.
Wow.
Back in there.
I was back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah.
Then we built this place. We're still building this place out. I think last year we probably worldwide with even the build out in the UK, we probably did $7 to $10 million in machinery and just construction costs.
That's crazy. I don't think people understand the scale that's happening behind the scenes, because it's like, oh, it's Rome, you know, it's like,
you and you're still there on the front right. lines. Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I love that. I love that part of the business is because, you know, it allows you to keep the ear to the ground, but You know, every day it's about trying to add value, but not being essential to operations. Mm-hmm. I heard that from Chris Blakesley at Green Hustlers, and it stuck with me. Like every day I think about that line, you know?
Yeah.
But, and that's why I also asked you for that recording because I wanted to watch it again.
But also, you guys also, like, no one's perfect. And like the best part about Supercolor is like if anything goes wrong, you're just like, hey, something happened. And they'll be like, we got you taken care of. No questions. I mean, you obviously don't want that happening all the time, but like us as printers, we mess up all the time too.
Yeah. You're hungry. It's like the underdog, feeling.
Yeah.
Well, it was, and again, Steve, that came about from the experiences that we were having.
Right.
Right. And there's this, our industry for whatever reason has a history of punishing the customer for doing things wrong. You gave us the wrong artwork. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. That's why it came out this way, you know? And I think that we want to get away from rules. We want to get away from punishment. We want to embrace the fact that, you know, this truly is a partnership. So let's make it happen together. It doesn't matter if it's your mistake or our mistake. We're just going to reprint it. Like, I mean, it's so much easier to live life that way because then you don't walk away and, you know, the only thing that's lost is time.
And we at ThreadX a couple of years ago, someone gave a talk and it was about like, you know, loyalty is built in resolution, you know? And so it's like, if
that's a hammer quote.
Yeah, loyalty is built in resolution. And like companies that just take care of you when things go wrong, whether it's your fault or theirs or a communal fault, like we sent them the wrong transfers with the wrong size and probably the wrong color values. And they're just like, yeah, like we're a partner here. We're going to help you guys out. Then you want to go back to them and keep going back to them. And that's why we buy from Amazon. I mean, right. So I don't know. I think it's much more than a transfer for sure.
What did you at Long Beach, did you mess around with the equipment that was there? Did you think anybody was good?
I got samples.
Bad?
So
it's shitty.
Yeah, you know.
Wait. Can you hold on?
I look. First of all, I don't want to knock the hustle.
Right.
Like, that's like kind of like one of the main things.
Didn't you have people that wouldn't let you actually?
They wouldn't let me press.
Sure. They wouldn't let you press at the show.
They wouldn't let They wouldn't let us press the sample.
Was that because they knew it was you or?
I don't know. Anybody? You know, we had other people, other customers that were floating around. You know, people are curious. They want to compare. You know, obviously, if they can get something cheaper or get something better, they're always interested in seeing how it might affect their business. But I think that was a pretty common thing. Look, again, this is with a lot of the smaller vendors. I think that there's a little bit of an unknown there. You know, when you're buying from a supplier, you know, you want to make sure that you know where the powder adhesive is coming from and that it's been lab tested and it's safe to use. You want to know where the PET film is coming from and it's safe to use. There's a lot of stuff that goes into making these products, and some of them are coming from far and away places that you just don't know about. You know, and all you have to do is go to the Facebook community chat boards and start looking at what some people are saying. And it's like, whoa, is it that serious?
Sure.
I don't think it's necessarily, at a point where, you know, some of the bigger players in the industry, I'm sure they're going to come in pretty soon, like Epson and, you know, maybe Mamaki. I don't know who else, you know, makes these printers, but the Epson print head is like the most common print head that they're using to convert DTF machines. And I'm sure they're going to come with an out of the box machine. That's going to be, better than anything that's out there right now. But at that point, you know, you'll start to see like the supply lines, clean up where there's more accountability and reliability and those types of things.
Yeah. Do you feel like your target audience or your target customers has changed over the years? Like, do you focus more on enterprise shops that are high volume? Because I know you spend a lot of time marketing to hobbyists and people just getting started. Like, what's that breakdown, if you might, be able to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So because printing is in our DNA, Supercolor was made for printers. It was made for professional screen printers and embroidery shops. And it was made to solve a problem for them. So they account for, around 55% of our business. Mm-hmm. And then 10 to 15% of our business is wholesale manufacturers, like people that are, you know, making garments and have their own printing on site, or they're vertically integrated, so to speak. And then the remaining is what we refer to as B2C. And the B2C can be divided up between, you know, the hustler entrepreneur that's running a business out of their home, or the crafter that's doing it for the sheer joy of it. Mm-hmm. We're very strong in the professional print sector, and that continues to grow for us, and it's our bread and butter. And but you know, the B2C market is very promising because it just keeps growing. You know, we want to grow the industry, and when you look at that B2C, it's about that passion for printing. Mm-hmm. It's about making, you know, the younger generation fall in love with heat transfer printing, because it's so accessible. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a young kid, right, you're in high school and you want to get into printing garments. Yeah. You know, back in the day you would aspire to go and get, you know, a four color
silver press or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Right. Like that's what you aspired to do. But then you got to get the screens, and then you got to figure out how you're going to burn them and do all of that other stuff. And there's a little bit of drama involved in doing all of that. Yeah, it's super cool. But what's super easy is getting a heat press, right? And you might be able to find one on Amazon for as low as $250. It'll get you in the game. It's probably not the best one, but for like $500, $600, $700, you start to get some better heat presses. And then all you need to do is get Supercolor, and you're on your way. We've got kids as young as 14 years old that are on our platform buying from us.
Is there a crazy opportunity to integrate with like a Michaels.com or something with?
Man, that all sounds amazing. I think that ultimately, you know, the goal for us is
because the Cricut or
Cricut.
Cricut, yeah, it was. Yeah. They're coming out with their
and Cricut DTF is
home machine.
Is a huge company. Right. And they appeal to that demographic as well. I think ideally.
But Cricut doesn't grow with you.
Right. Sorry, but like Cricut. For this home, like it's B2C. I think of like these like hobbyists and.
Well, I think of like you look at like Ryanette's story very much the same way. Like start with the hobby shop, start with the kits at home, grow, you know, sell ink, grow into buying a rock. I mean, it's kind of the same trajectory, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're changing that landscape is saying. It's starting with transfers now. Do you see yourself ever selling like heat presses?
I think anything is possible. I think last year was all about scaling. You know, there was, you know, we grew really fast.
Yeah, and, UK, yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah, and
here.
Demand was so strong that, you know, when we first started out, we say, you order today, we ship tomorrow, and we did. And then all of a sudden it's like, you order today and we ship 3 days from now.
Uh-oh.
And that didn't sit well with us. And at that point, we were air freighting in equipment, like on airplanes, just to scale up as fast as we could so that we didn't have to break our promise. And every time we'd add equipment, we'd grow more. And then we're like, whatever we just did wasn't enough, so we got to do more. And this goes back to that question of how much did you guys invest last year? So before we can start, you know, evaluating what our next, you know, sales opportunity is or where we're going to grow our revenue from, I think what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're continuing to supply Supercolor to all of our customers as fast as possible and making sure that that product is something that they can rely on and count on as a part of their business to help them grow and meet their customers' expectations. That's what it's all about. The other stuff, you know, we've got teams that are developing new transfers. We got teams that are looking into developing heat presses, and they do that stuff. I don't really worry about it too much.
Yeah.
The DTF heat transfer, the great showdown.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. I mean, think about when Digital Squeegee just first started coming out and then where it's at now. Like,
well, I think the big thing, so when we first talked about this Long Beach, I was like, oh my gosh, like this kind of like, this is a little worrisome for how quickly that came into the show. I actually think though now it is like we were talking about earlier, an and conversation where it's mm-hmm. like, It's like when it was before, it was constant DTG for screen printing, constant conversations. And it's like, it's not one or the other. It's, it's a different complement to the business, or some businesses are pure DTG and they excel at that.
And they're great at it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like it's a different type of thing for a different solution.
Rum, do you think this wipes out the DTG market?
See, I don't believe in absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that,
could it significantly threaten it?
Well, it could, but like, think of it this way, right? Like, one thing that Supercolor doesn't print well is fadeaways. Like fade to zero. Like, like we can
half
do great
tones.
Yeah. We've got a trap in the artwork. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's with all transfers. It's going to get harder and harder to do that sort of effect. And DTG does it like excellent. It's great at it. Right. And I think that also, like, technologies will continue to develop. They'll continue to get better. But I couldn't tell you. I don't have a prediction on what's going to happen to it.
The commitment that Supercolor's made is like, we're going to adapt and grow and continue to learn. And that might mean 10 years from now, your technology is completely different, you know?
We have to be willing to change all the time.
Yeah.
Do you think selling equipment, though, is a distraction? I feel like it's so much. You've invested so much into, you know, this line of business and being really great at it and going for the top dogs in the transfer space.
So Rob, my print heads are clogged.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Here's my cell phone number.
It could be a good opportunity, right? But it's like us when we think about, you know, we went into e-commerce, but then it's like, okay, should we go into education? Should we go into all these other neighboring verticals or even industries?
Yeah, just to clarify, I don't think we want to sell DTF machines. Mm-hmm. I think we would make a DTF transfer, but we're probably not going to want to make DTF machines. I mean, don't hold me to it. I can't predict the future, but you know, we're a service before we're a manufacturer of equipment.
And I got to imagine, you know, roughly what the revenue is of competitors. So you say, look, there's a lot of space still here.
We want to add value to whatever it is that a business or a person is doing through a service. And I think that that's where we're going to continue to focus.
So let's talk a little bit about Beyond Supercolor. Because once I learned about Supercolor, I got into DecoPress.
Ooh.
So do you know about DecoPress, Bruce?
I was there.
Which has changed our business too.
Yeah.
Tell us about did you get into DecoPress after Supercolor? How are the two?
Yeah.
Tell us about that relationship.
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk about this in a long time.
Really?
So, yeah.
Am I still an only customer? There's lots of people that buy DecoPress.
No, there's quite a few, but, you know, just in terms of telling the story. So, you know, just taking it back a little bit, I've only been in this industry for 6 years, right? If that.
Because you were DJ Rum?
Pretty much DJ Only One Rum, yeah.
DJ Only One Rum. MySpace. Do you have a MySpace?
Basically, I had a MySpace way back then. But I was in, you know, real estate. And I was coming off like a pretty bad loss on an investment. And I was at home.
In real estate?
In real estate, yeah.
In California in real estate?
No, it was in New Mexico of all places.
Oh.
Can you talk about what that was?
Yeah, it was basically, you know, for many years, started out doing like commercial loans and then got into multifamily apartment buildings. And then one day decided that it would be a great idea to own a hotel. Not realizing that a hotel is a 24-hour business, 7 days a week, and it never shuts down, as opposed to just collecting rent from people and maintaining their apartments and that sort of thing. But yeah, so that didn't go very well.
Was this the Super 8? That was pretty good.
That was really good. Yeah. I'll give that one to you. And so, you know, yeah, just kind of took the L, came home. I did meet my wife out in New Mexico.
Oh,
so,
cool.
You know,
that was a win.
Yeah, that was a win. And I always tell her that, you know, it only cost me all the money that I lost. You know? But anyways, when I came back, a friend of mine, he reached out to me. He was starting a new business and he said, hey, listen, you know, I'm leaving this company. I'm going to be starting my own heat transfer printing business and I want you to come join me in this business. And at first I was like, okay, you know, sounds interesting. Let me learn more. I didn't know anything about what a heat transfer was, but you know, forward, you know, a year later, we're in this business. And unfortunately, that friend, he got out of the business. There were some issues with his previous company. He took a buyout and then he left. And it was myself and Marcello. And we basically were running a heat transfer company. And he knew how to print them, but I didn't know anything about them at all. And I had to learn. And those next 2 years were brutal. I mean, we lost so much money, I can't even tell you. And it was just a it was just a surprise that we were able to stay alive that long. But that was like the genesis of Deco Press. Huh. And we were making emblems and patches and those types of products. But really, what if I was to look back and think about it, what we were really passionate about was heat applied products. We knew that we wanted to make stuff that people could apply with a heat press. And so, so we make these really cool, you know, labels that are four color processed, dye sublimated, printed. They come with, you know, we can put like an embroidered satin border on them. We do leatherette emblems and we do suede, and we've got some really interesting products that are coming out down the line. But it perfectly complements Supercolor because, again, they're heat applied products that can also be sewn down.
Order them?
Yeah, we do patches for hats, and
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So while we were doing that, while Marcello and I were doing that, that's when we met Mike. And we met Mike through a supplier of ours in China. He introduced us to each other, and that's when he walked in, and he had already made Supercolor with our partner Bill in New Zealand, and Marcello and I were over here, you know, trying to do the same thing with much inferior equipment, like totally, like not the same level. And we're like, oh yeah, we're pretty close, you know, we're trying to do this, but you know, we're like a couple millimeters off in registration, which is everything in this industry. And he's like, well, hey, look, this is what we've done. What are we going to do? And we hit it off, and the rest is history. You know, that's how Supercolor came to America. And so then we were selling or offering these emblems and labels and patches and Supercolor for about a year. And then next door to Deco Press, we took over the lease of a subtenant that we had in there. And that's when we put in Supercolor and we started printing there. So they're all housed under one
roof. So Deco Press was actually almost before Supercolor.
Yeah, it was, technically. But it was under a different name. And now it's kind of like the next frontier for us in terms of what we want to bring to the table and how we help, you know, our customers on their journey.
How are you doing business wise or just like personal?
Like how do you handle this all? I can barely, I got to outsource fulfillment and like return my DTF. You know, what do you
all
got?
All that aside and like,
yeah, like how do you keep it all straight? I know you're going to Mexico for 4 days.
Is that
like my first trip in, I don't know how long.
Really?
My family. Yeah. You know, I've got a 2-year-old, I got a 4-year-old.
Okay.
My wife is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, she definitely is really, really supportive.
Is she in the business too, or?
No. She's just recently, she's transitioning jobs right now. She's
got it.
In the energy sector for a while. Totally different business. I would tell you this, that like, you know, we've got a great team here. Really supportive. You know, I think that we now we have over 100 employees. I think the last time I checked, there's 110 people that work for Supercolor. Deco Press.
And is that worldwide or here in the States?
That's just here in the States.
So 100 employees.
I think total we'd be really close to 200 worldwide.
So then like, what's your leadership team look like? Obviously, you know, Mike's there, but like,
yeah.
How, I mean, you had to build out infrastructure. Do you have help to do that?
Yeah. And like, also that was the great political answer, but like, I'm looking, you know, like,
yeah, like,
oh man, I'm a mess.
It's just
I'm
like,
crazy.
I feel like it's a shit show a lot of the time for everybody internally in their business, but these are all their business owners, obviously watching. So
I'm going to be honest. I love the hustle, right? I'm a bit of an addict and I love to work. And, I get excited every day to do this
yeah.
because it's a really exciting gig. And, you know, I wake up in the morning. I like to get my exercise in, come back, you know, have breakfast with my kids. And then I'm off to work, and then I come home, and then I hang out with them, and then they go to bed, and then I'm working again. And it's pretty much what like most entrepreneurs are doing. And you just try to get in whatever you can, whenever you can. And the rest of the time you're on the grind.
I'm just picturing myself managing an Atlanta facility from Los Angeles with physical goods. Like, we're our software company, so it's software. A little different, right? But like, and then there's UK, and then there's the other building here.
Yeah. You're a software guy.
I mean, but like people wise, like yeah. Shifts, I'm not showing up today. I'm not, you know, this and then.
Well, you know, I think, okay, so structure.
COVID.
That's crazy. Structure is really important, you know. We definitely learning a lot on the job. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you make some decisions and you pay the price, but you better learn from them because you can't make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Especially when our competitors are as big as they are and as good as they are, you know? And so, we have a good plant structure now with plant managers and then production managers. And
is it a bit of a playbook that you roll out now?
Yeah, there is definitely a playbook now. And we have director level positions. So like we have a director of people and culture. Some other people might call that HR, but for us it's director of people and culture, Erica Taylor. You know, we've got director of marketing. And so we're filling all those positions up with some really great people. I think last year, you'd find me in the factory, you know, like if there was a, when COVID broke out, I was making screens, you know, first time around in August, like I was literally taping screens. And I don't, trust me, you guys don't want me taping screens. Okay?
Yeah, you don't want me printing
if
either.
Anybody got any bad transfers in August, you can blame me. It's probably my fault.
Rome@supercolor.com.
I mean, when COVID broke, I was printing and, you know, one arm's longer than the other. It's not really my fault, but like I messed up so much stuff.
I don't belong there.
Yeah.
Glad
we share that.
You know, now it's about like trying to like what we said earlier, add value, but not be essential to the process. And, we, Mike and I work with a business strategy coach who kind of like he mentors us and, you know, like we learn about the things that we don't know about because we're entrepreneurs. And then we learn how to, you know, build teams out, build processes out. It's like kind of like going to MBA school, but not going to MBA
school.
Yeah,
that's big. Really, we just had a mentor coach just on the episode too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the things that he told me last year was he's like, look, you can only have like 7 or 8 people that report to you. Everybody can't have access to you and everybody can't call you when there's a problem. And as much as I love being that guy, I love being connected to everybody, you know?
Gotta turn Slack off.
Yeah, like it just was like, it was hurting the company because I wasn't focused on all the right things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with experience and you know, just kind of learning on the job.
And not being available. Like you have to force yourself to not be available. I mean, and that's a hard thing because you keep looking at the business and you're like, oh, I could just fix that or I could just fix that.
Having the time to think.
Yeah.
Is like so underrated.
Yeah, I'm stare at the wall.
So, you know, you learn to appreciate different things as you go on your journey as a business person or as an entrepreneur. And things that were really, really hard become easy and not as challenging. And things that you've never experienced before or you don't know how to do, they're very scary and they seem like, oh man, how am I ever going to do that? But, you know, the hustler inside never wants to lose.
That's true.
This is good stuff. Yeah.
The hustler inside never wants to lose.
Super hustle.
Rome Wally, everybody from Supercolor, thank you so much for having us in your beautiful new spot. Mr. Stephen Farragut of Campus Inc. I'm Bruce from Printava. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Sweet.